Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Want to mention again today, from 11 until 1 o'clock, I'll be at Compass Capital, located at 9800 Metcalf, here in Overland Park. There's a huge need for blood in our community, and you can help, because I'll be at their blood drive. You can give hope this spring by donating blood for the American Red Cross today from 11 until 4. I'll be there from 11 until 1. B&B Movie Theaters is giving away free movie vouchers to everyone who gives blood. You can sign up today by going to redcrossblood.org or calling 800-733-2767. Search for zip code 66212 and select the Compass Capital Drive. If you can't sign up in advance, make sure to just stop by today from 11 until 4 o'clock at Compass Capital, 9800 Metcalf, to give hope this spring for the American Red Cross. I'll be there from 11 until 1. So stop by and see me and Gabe and Belinda and Jimmy.
Jimmy?
I made that up.
No Bobby?
Name, no name Jimmy. Let's say hello to Damon Bethea, former Michigan State star. What's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Doing very well. Thank you very much for joining us. And so this is your chance to take a shot at Jeff Chedea, or you could say that you like the hire. What do you think of Michigan hiring Dusty May to be their new head basketball coach after he did some really good things at Florida Atlantic?
Well, Dusty May has been my friend for 20 years. Uh-oh. That's the crazy part about it. And I actually saw Chedea, and I told him that I actually liked the hire, and that I even told Dusty that I would only not cheer for him for two games out of the year. I think that they did a great job. Michigan did a great job, not because Dusty's been my friend for that long, but just the fact that I think that he's going to do a great job for him. So we got our work cut out for us in East Lansing, if you're a Spartan fan, because Dusty's going to do a great job there. So that's all I can say, but I still don't like Michigan's football team. I don't care nobody.
Right. But maybe you could add some insight to this, because we have a station in Louisville, so try to pay attention to what's going on down there. And
oh, yeah.
Many Louisville fans just assumed that Dusty May was going to be their next basketball coach. And they were taken by surprise that he chose Michigan. In your opinion, why choose Michigan over Louisville?
Well, I think for Dusty, you know, Dusty's more of a mid. You know, I mean, obviously Louisville's in the Midwest, but Dusty's a Big Ten. You know, he's a Big Tenner at heart. He went to Indiana University. He was a manager there. I think he, you know, the proximity to for recruiting for him was better, and I think that it being a Jumpman, a.k.a. Jordan Brand team, I think that had a lot of incentive into it, too, with the Nike thing. And I think that Louisville is in a situation where, they're struggling right now to get some people that really want the job because of what's happened the last couple years. But they've got a lot of NIL money and stuff like that, and you know, from everything I hear in the situation there, is they were at the almost at the oil had run, and they thought they did have Dusty, and Michigan came in and made a better offer, and hey, he's in Ann Arbor now.
All right, let's get on to the NCAA tournament. You're, of course, a Michigan State man, so I'm sure you watched the Michigan State North Carolina game closely in the second round. I don't have North Carolina going to the Final Four. I have Arizona going to the Final Four of that bracket. Am I going to be wrong? Where do you think North Carolina gets Alabama next? But how good is North Carolina after watching them up close, and how far do you think they go?
Well, we're going to start out west first, huh? You're sending me out west first.
That's right.
So Arizona this year has, you know, they've beaten Duke and they've beaten Alabama. And, you know, Clemson has beaten Clemson also has beaten Alabama, and they've beaten North Carolina. So it's going to be interesting that game, that Arizona-Clemson game, is going to be very interesting. And, you know, Arizona wants to get up and down. Clemson is hanging their hat on defense, obviously with the big kid in the middle. But I think Arizona pulls that out. In the other game with UNC and Alabama, I think UNC has a chance to pull that one out. And they've got the personnel to beat UNC, and plus you got Caleb Love going against his former team, UNC, and there is not any Love lost in that whole scenario right there. And obviously Arizona's got they've got Balo in the middle that can do some damage against Baycock. So I think you're right. Out west, Arizona does get through there.
So, okay, the matchup that Stephen and I have been talking about the most, that we really love, Illinois versus Iowa State. This is in the East, but this is defense versus offense. And just maybe before we even get into the specifics of this game itself, are you one of those people that believes defense wins championships, or one of these people I hear a lot of people say, when you get to March Madness, it's the teams that can score, you know, that can really make some damage. Which way do you generally lean when it comes to a game like this?
Well, I lean towards the fact that you have to be able to get down in a stance and play some defense for 40 minutes. But at the same time, you have to find a way to put the basketball in. It's basketball. You got to be able to have both ends to it. And you're right, Nate. You know, Iowa State and Illinois, I think they both play very similar, because both love to put the ball in the hole. I mean, Iowa State is a heck of a scoring team too. You know, for them, they get it in so many different ways. And then with Illinois, you got Shannon, and you got DeMath, and then Coleman Hawkins too. He can score that basketball too. So it's going to be interesting there. That Iowa State, it's going to be up and down. But I think that down the stretch is whoever gets the most stops defensively could come out in front with that. But Iowa State is tough, man. They beat Houston two out of the three times they played them this year.
Yeah, I mean, and so – okay, go ahead.
I said that's tough. That means Iowa State can put the ball – you know, they can put the basketball in the hole, because Houston hangs their hat on defense night in and night out. So – It's gonna be a barn burner right there. I'm looking forward to that one.
I know that Dan Hurley's mad about a lot of things. he does. He said that the NCAA selection committee is trying to make it as hard on them as possible. And he brought up both Illinois and Iowa State being in his region. He would only have to play one of them. But do you think one of those teams would be a tougher matchup for UConn than the other?
Well, I think the first one out to San Diego State is going to be a tough matchup for him.
Okay.
I mean, he's got to worry about that one. It's funny. I've known Danny for almost 35 years. We played in the McDonald's All-American game together, but he's always complaining about something. So this is nothing new from him.
So he was pissed off then, too, huh?
Yeah, even as a McDonald's All-American? Even as a McDonald's All-American high school kid, he was bragging?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, he was mad because we had to do all this touring of the nation's capital and all that stuff the whole time. But he's fun to be around, though. I'll tell you that much for sure. But San Diego State, it's a rematch. Now, UConn has been playing great. I mean, they beat Northwestern to get through there, and then San Diego State kind of blew out Yale. So both teams coming in off a blowout. But, Donovan Klingon, the big kid for UConn, he can dominate a game even more so than Zach Edey of Purdue, because he moves his feet on the pick and roll actions. He gets blocks. He can score down on the other end. This is why he's projected as a lottery pick, and he's projected to be a higher, and he's 7'2" like that. I mean, he's 7'2", Edey's 7'4", but just he's a problem for any team that UConn faces. But San Diego State, they hang their hat on defense. I think that, you know, they got a lot of the same personnel back from last year. So it's going to be interesting to see how this game plays out. This is going to be a tough one for UConn to get through this one.
All right, let's take a look at the Midwest. Creighton survived double overtime against Oregon. And then Tennessee hung on against Texas. And so you've got an intriguing matchup between Creighton and Tennessee. Who do you like in that matchup?
Whew, man, defense. Tennessee has got so many different weapons, and they come at you on the defensive end. And then offensively, Dalvin Connect. Man, he came from Division II, and he can really score the basketball. And then they got a couple other guards that get after it. But I think overall Tennessee's length on defense and the fact that they can still score the ball, they get through Creighton on that. And, another one, Purdue and Gonzaga. Purdue won the first – they played before. Purdue and Gonzaga played earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
They played in Maui. And Purdue won that one. And Purdue has beaten Tennessee as well and Marquette. So, so it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. But I may have to give it to my boys at Purdue, the Boilermakers, to make it out of the Midwest.
Do you root for Purdue to get over the hump, or would you like to see them come up short again?
No, I've got friends over there at Purdue, and obviously, I want to see Purdue do some good things. I grew up with one of their assistant coaches and played against Painter, who was obviously the head coach, and then Glenn Robinson, who's probably their most famous player of all time. He and I've been friends since we were 15, so I want to see him win. It'd be good to get a Big Ten team, Big Ten team through there, and see what can happen in the Final Four.
I was in Knoxville, Tennessee, as a senior in high school when Glenn Robinson went off along with Konzo Martin against Greg Ostertag. He dunked on Greg Ostertag, who then gave him a high five.
Konzo Martin knew Missouri State head basketball coach.
Yeah, that's right.
Zoe is going to Missouri State, and that's going to be interesting. I want to know where Northwest Missouri State coach is going to go. Ben, he could end up
Drake.
In a couple of different places. It could be at Drake, or McCollum could be at Oklahoma State. It could be interesting. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with Ben going somewhere too. I mean, he's been really good. I mean, he's been really good at the Division II level. And basketball translates. It really does.
We were all thinking Drake because he's from Iowa. You think which job should he take if he could have either one? I mean, Oklahoma State's in a bigger conference, but where's he going to have more success?
Well, I think that, he could probably take his – well, Drake was good this year. I mean, he could probably take his whole Northwest team over up to Des Moines and have them in what's called. But I think that – the competitiveness, if you're a competitor and, in the game of basketball, coaches are competitors, players are competitors. If you want to compete at the highest level, I mean, hey, Oklahoma State needs a, they need a jump start into what they got going on in their program. They've got a lot of, in this today's landscape, to be able to do a lot of things. Obviously the NIL, they've got the resources down there. So, hey, take the big path. That's what I say.
All right, let's get back on track with the tournament. Let's take a look at the South. You got Houston, mm-hmm. Duke. You got NC State, Marquette. Let's start with NC State, Marquette. NC State, is the heat going to keep going for them, or are they going to run out of run out of gas here as they take on Marquette?
Well, NC State, obviously they won 7 in a row to win. 7 in a row, including the NCAA tournament. They had to go 5 days in a row to win the ACC. I think that, Marquette is playing really well. They've got great wing players. Kolnick is back at the point guard position, and they're a big kid. He can help stretch the defense, especially with a low floater. North Carolina State has, DJ Burns, who you have to double-team down there. I mean, he is a load. He is Zach Randolph of the 2020s. But I see Marquette having enough overall talent to get through that into the Elite Eight. I don't know if North Carolina State can continue to sustain what they need to do, especially on the defensive end, to knock off a Marquette, and which they come at you in different ways with pick and roll and transition and all those other things. So I look at Marquette getting through to the Elite Eight.
All right, what do you think of Houston-Duke?
Oh, that's going to be a great game. It's down in Dallas. So, you know, Duke will be the road team for once in their life. Usually they get a favorable pick to go anywhere they want to go. But I think that Houston and Duke both got tested in the round of 32. Texas A&M probably should have snuck by Houston in that game, you know, pushing it to overtime. And I thought that early on, Duke was going up against the James Madison team. Defensively, James Madison likes to get after it. Obviously, James Madison, they pummeled Wisconsin and their offense. But I look at it like, okay, Filipowski down low is going to he's going to be the key to this game, because if he can get post-ups and create mismatches and Houston has to double, now Duke is going to be wide open with a lot of great shooters, McCain, Proctor. The kid from Mark Mitchell, probably being able to be a slasher and score some buckets too. But I think Houston gets it done, and you look at a Houston Marquette matchup to go to the Final Four.
Man, we appreciate you bringing down all the games for us. Thanks, Damon. We'll talk to you very soon.
See you, fellas. Hope your brackets aren't too busted up, man.
No, they're busted.
Yep.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah,
it's over. That's Damon Bethea, former Michigan State star, talking college basketball with us. And, Jake, here's a tasty nugget from the league meetings. The league has voted and approved to move the trade deadline. They move it 1 week. And so instead of the trade deadline being after the Week 8 games, the trade deadline now has been pushed back 1 week to after Week 9 games, the Tuesday after Week 9. And so that gives teams an extra week to evaluate whether they're buyers or sellers. We all give that a thumbs up, don't we?
Yeah.
Big time.
There was
another week.
There was a proposal to move it to after Week 10 that failed. But they've moved it back 1 week, so instead of being after Week 8, the NFL trade deadline is now the Tuesday after Week 9. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Buchady. Jake will be off the air for a while as he attempts to purchase tickets to go see Korn at T-Mobile Center.
I go see Korn. I remember the first album came out.
October 18th, you'll be there, won't you?
Sure. I'll go get in the pit.
Go get you some tickets, would you?
Sure.
Tickets for less. Yeah.
That's where I got my 311 ticket.
Let's talk to Annie Rogers from MLB.com. Hello, Annie. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Are you back in KC?
I am back,
and
it feels great, even though the weather is pretty terrible. That's okay. I'm happy to be home.
Yeah, you know what? That's right. The weather will, just like I tell anyone, if you don't like the weather in Kansas City, just wait till tomorrow. It'll be different. So,
exactly.
It'll be all good. All right. Update us on what is going on as far as injuries. Unfortunately, Michael Massey won't be participating in opening day. What's his injury situation?
Yeah, so he came into the complex one day last week with lower back tightness, and he's dealt with this before, he knows that it takes a little bit of time to loosen up and get back to where he can go full go. So the Royals had to make a decision there, and they're expected to put him on the IL to open the season. They are hoping it's not going to be a long stint, just because he just needs time to ramp back up. So. He'll stay in Arizona for now, and then hopefully get on a rehab assignment maybe as early as this weekend with Omaha opening the season as well. So hopefully he'll be back fairly soon after those 10 days are up, whenever they do place him on the IL. And in his place, Adam Frazier will likely see a lot of time at second base, especially since the Royals are going to face a lot of righties to open the season. And then it also cleared a path for Nick Lawson to make the roster, which is he earned it through spring. And there was going to be a little bit of a logjam, but he's made the roster, and that's an exciting time for him and for Royals fans who are excited about what he brings.
How much playing time do you think Lofton will get here in the early going?
You know, it's interesting because, like I said, the Royals are going to face a lot of righties, so they're going to want a lot of lefties in their lineup, which opens the path for Frazier. But I do think Lofton's versatility, and he doesn't have crazy splits, so he'll be able to play multiple positions. They'll be able to move him around. He can play first, second, third, left field, right field. He does have experience at shortstop and center field. I don't think the Royals are going to put him there, but he can play all over the place, so that opens up opportunities for him to play, and especially getting pinch hits. Even though he's so young and still a rookie, the Royals do like what he brings in those situations late in games. So I think that's an opportunity as well.
I'm just curious. I don't know how much you were around the team, around people once the news broke, but what's been the buzz, and what are your thoughts on the Ohtani situation?
Yeah, I think it's just wild. I mean, there's really no other way to explain it, and that's kind of what I hear from everybody within baseball, both on the Royals and my colleagues throughout the league and other writers. I mean, it's just a crazy situation. We're all kind of glued to our phones watching how it's been unfolding. It's confusing. So I feel for the writers over in L.A. having to break it all down. It's one of the craziest stories, I think, of our, definitely the past few years, I want to say even generation, depending on how it all plays out over the next weeks, months, years.
That's a good point. We kind of got to wait to see how this plays out to realize the exact scope of this and how big of a story this ends up being. But I think you're right. Everyone's kind of glued to their phones or trying to, like yesterday with this press conference that didn't amount to a whole lot. I mean, 70 reporters there, and there's not allowed to ask any questions. At some point, he's going to have to answer questions, you would think, right?
Right. I mean, then that's one of the things, you got to, if you want the truth to come out, and if you, want to set things straight, you're going to have to answer questions eventually. But, he doesn't talk to media a lot. And I know that's a thing that, Dodgers writers have talked about. Other Dodgers players have noticed as well, after talking with Angels players from his time there. So I think, if you want to hold yourself accountable and your team accountable, you've got to stand up and answer questions. That's just what you do in this sport. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over the course of the season. He's a very routine-oriented guy, a very regimented, and I'm interested to see if that changes, I guess, over the course of the year and multiple years, I guess, with the Dodgers.
Andy, I think it comes at a really interesting time, too, considering the history of baseball when it comes to gambling, right? Like, the baseball, as we all know, long, long time ago, took a much harder line stance about gambling than really any other sport we know of in the United States. That's why the Pete Rose whole situation is what it is. But yet, we're now in an era where gambling is becoming a massively integrated part to all of the sports landscape in the United States. And I'm curious what signs you see of how baseball, this is a transition period for baseball, isn't it, from being the most militant anti-gambling league maybe in America to being involved in all this, to where ESPN's running win probabilities throughout the course of the entire game and all that. Are you hearing much conversation about that, in terms of the way they communicate to the players on how they want to navigate this whole thing?
Yeah, absolutely. You say they're in a transition period. I say they're kind of at a crossroads. You've got to go one way or the other, right? And there are sports books in and around stadiums. There's going to be a lot of opportunity for fans to gamble on what's going on in the game and players and all that. So as far as what the players are doing, they have a meeting every spring training that goes over the rules, and it's very You know, it's very strict, obviously, on what they can and can't do. So that continues to be a conversation. Everybody knows exactly what they can and can't do in terms of, you know, betting and all that. But it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out with baseball, Major League Baseball, the Players Association, over the course of the next few years as gambling becomes such a pertinent place in our society. I mean, it's all over the place. Like you said, ESPN has those win probabilities. You know, there's DraftKings sponsored content on almost every outlet now. I mean, it's all over the place. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all kind of comes to a head over the next couple of years.
Andy Rogers, our guest. All right, the Royals avoided disaster when a line drive struck Michael Wacha on his right middle finger, but it looks like he's going to be okay, and the rotation is set with Cole Reagans as the opening day starter, and of course they've got everything set with the fifth starter and Alec Marsh, and so I mean that's a good thing. Reagans, Lugo, Singer, Wacha, Marsh is the rotation they'll go with, but Waka's okay, and Marsh is the fifth starter. So what are your thoughts now on this five-man rotation?
Yeah, they definitely avoided a scary situation there. I was at the inner spot on Sunday, and it came off of Salvi's bat, just smoked. And I thought, like, this is the worst-case scenario. Waka looked like he was in pain, but, you know, he was able to tug on his finger, I guess, pretty hard, and that's a good sign. And then all the x-rays show that he's all good, so they avoided something there. Everybody can kind of breathe a sigh of relief, and he'll start for the Royals' first road game, which I think they did that intentionally. They want a veteran to start in that road atmosphere for the first time, and I think they like the way his stuff might play against the Orioles hitters. So I like the way that they've laid it out, and we'll get to see one of the newcomers in Lugo this weekend at the K.
How did Jordan Lyles deal with the news that he'd be in the bullpen?
It seemed like he was pretty professional, both talking to the people who were in the meeting with him when he learned, and then also when we talked to him as reporters, you know, afterwards. You know, he was, you know, very professional about it. He understood it. And then he also said he just wants to try to get out for the team wherever that may be. So whether it's starting or relieving, he wants to try to, you know, fix things, bounce back from last year, and show that he can be a valuable member of the team.
Okay, so if there's a save situation for the Royals, hopefully on opening day, is Will Smith the closer, or is it based on matchups?
I think you're going to see Will Smith get the majority of opportunities to start the season. But he can't throw every day. The Royals want to have lots of save opportunities. They want to have lots of high leverage opportunities. So you're going to see a lot of their newcomers get those high leverage spots, like Nick Anderson, John Schreiber, Chris Stratton, and even you know, the young reliever James MacArthur, who we saw last year, just kind of emerge as a high leverage threat for them. So we'll see a lot. It'll depend on matchups. It'll depend on availability. But I think it's not going to shock me when you see Will Smith, I guess, run out there if there's a save opportunity in the ninth inning on opening day.
All right. Thursday, opening day. I'm looking right now at weather.com, which is probably a mistake. But anyway, a high of 67, sunny, with looks like very little cloud cover. So we'll take that.
Yeah.
Cross our fingers, and hopefully that's the correct forecast. Either way, you'll be out there covering the Royals, Andy. Thank you so much for the time, and welcome back to Kansas City.
All right. All year long, I'll have coverage. So thanks for having me on, guys. Again, I appreciate it.
That's right. You go to MLB.com, Royals.com, and Andy Rogers covers the Royals better than anyone. That's Andy Rogers. Thank you so much for your time. It's here now.
60s and sunny. You can't ask for better than that on opening day.
Right,
a little light jacket weather.
Yeah.
I think you're just being a little spoiled if you ask for more.
Actually, 67 is perfect. I want the 60s.
Yeah. You're a jacket on guy. Light jacket.
Well, and you're a jacket off guy.
Well,
so
always have been.
That's what I've been told. They're going to take us off the radio at some point, but hopefully I'll be 60s, in my 60s, and I won't care.
Will there still be radio?
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. All right, then. Anything you want to say in there, Jake? No, it's not what I asked you about. It's not what I asked you about. That's inappropriate.
You have to take it to that next level, huh? Can't just...
Inappropriate. We're just killing time until 10 right now.
Hey, it's good to have Jake back.
You got anything? Got anything over there?
I think we're due for a break.
Are we?
I think we should take a break. That's what I think.
Due for quite a long break.
Yeah.
Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hey, thank you to our guests today, Jamie Blumer, Mark Boerger, Damon Bethea, and Andy Rogers. Listen to me. If you want to do something good today, then I got an idea for you. Come out and see me today from 11 until 1 at Compass Capital. I'm going to be there from 11 until 1 for a blood drive, which is very important, obviously. And there's a huge need for blood in our community, and you could help. You could sign up today by going to redcrossblood.org, or you can call 800-733-2767, search a zip code 66212, and then select Compass Capital Drive. Or if you can't sign up in advance, you could just stop by today from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. at Compass Capital at 9800 Metcalf to give hope this spring for the American Red Cross. And our good friends at B&B Movie Theaters, this is awesome. They're kind enough to be giving away free movie vouchers to everyone who gives blood. Thank you, B&B Movie Theaters. So stop by and see me. I'll be there from 11 to 1, and then it'll continue until 4, 11 until 4, at Compass Capital Blood Drive for the American Red Cross. Today from 11 to 4 at 9800 Metcalf in Overland Park. I'll be there from 11 to 1. Then I'll be at the NAIA National Championship game tonight delivering the game ball. So if you see me there, say hello. But hopefully I'll see you donating blood for the American Red Cross at Compass Capital today. 9800 Metcalf, 11 until 4, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHP.